Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
7 minutes after 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay. Right here live on the 14th day of October 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is the O'Chelly Effect. Good God. You know, it seems like I can not get anything done on a time schedule or without a whole lot of hassle lately. But here I am. Here we go. And if you're hearing the podcast, you don't care. But if you're just listening to the podcast, you're not able to call in at 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. Or you can ask me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype, to call you into the show if you like, because we're live here on a Friday night. It is the Friday night open mic. 319-527-5016. My co-host B. Pete is with me. And, you know, it's been yet another interesting and fun week. But anyway, what can I say? Have you seen the news? Are you watching baseball? I didn't get a chance to watch any baseball. Wound up taking care of dogs and all kinds of things this week, but you know, it is what it is. Anyways, before I go any further, and do remind you once again, 319-527-5016. Let's check in with B. Pete. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I agree with you. It has been kind of a weird week. Very weird week.
Right.
Trying to cruise headlines here. I've been trying to catch up with the news because elections are close. We're what, 25 days away?
Well, and, right. And just to correct myself from something last week, I think I said about Georgia and early voting, it actually begins this Monday. So I was incorrect about that. I thought it had already started by now, but it did not. It starts this Monday, leading up to Election Day, which is, well, only a couple of weeks away now. So anyway, yeah, elections are heating up. I mean, the races that they're watching nationally and locally and all that good stuff. I want to find out about North Carolina, though, because it seems to not be in the national headlines at the moment. But I'm thinking it's going to get back in there. What do you got going on in North Carolina with the elections?
This is our biggest thing is the Senate race. We've got a congressman running for the seat against a former chief justice, liberal chief justice, female, black, against the good old boy, you know, white. I believe he runs a firearm store. Yes, he has a gun store. He's also a concealed carry instructor, and so he's kind of interesting. He's been in Congress this past term, decided to run for the Senate when I think Tillis said he wasn't running again. So it's been kind of interesting. Of course, you got the liberal judge who's got the backing of all these other judges who say that, you know, our job is not political, and I just laugh because this state is known for political judicial systems, you know, since creation. It's kind of funny. Nothing really major. I think the Republicans going to take it. It just depends on turnout. We're one of those weird states where we might vote Trump, but we'll vote in a Democratic governor. The Republicans have had held on the Senate for quite some time now. We just went through another redistricting fight. It's still held up in the courts. The Green Party finally got on the ballot, mandated by the courts, so they're getting some recognition. Mm. We're kind of up and down. It could go either way, you know. But the big news here is our shooting that we had in Raleigh yesterday, 5 people dead in a subdivision. So, you know, we've joined the mass shooting list.
Right, I saw that.
Sad.
I'll tell you something I saw here, and no big news headlines about it. Maybe you could do a search and find it, believe it or not. And the scary thing is it's only a couple of blocks from my house. there were sheriff's deputies and all kinds of police action, crazy blue lights everywhere, right? And from what I could gather from a couple of people, you know, in the surrounding area was that there was car accident and shooting going on. between sheriff's deputies and somebody. And, yeah, no big headline on the local news. Happened, still with daylight yesterday. Okay. And I was running around a bit yesterday, almost missed getting Jack Blood's show on, then didn't get my own show on. Jack did an hour yesterday, and, you know, that was it. I didn't get my show together at all, but anyway, I almost missed Jack's show. When I was coming back home, there was this whole area blocked off, traffic-wise and everything, couple of wrecked cars, and, yeah, zero. I don't even see the massive, you know, normal press release you get from the cops or anything.
Was this Bibb County?
Yes.
Yeah, Bibb deputy driver exchanged gunfire on Coliseum Drive and Emory Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This is on 13WMAZ. A routine traffic stop in Macon turned into a shootout between a deputy and a suspect Wednesday night, according to a release from Bibb County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, that's not the right one.
It's not?
No. See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. This was Thursday. So.
Oh, wait. This is back in September. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
My bad.
Because I was going to say, okay, that's news to me, too. I was almost going to say, what's going on here? BP's got news I don't have. I don't think you're going to find anything
about
this.
Well, from September, apparently it's a yearly thing down there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. September 22nd, 2022. That's an officer-involved shooting.
Well, it can't be the 22nd yet. It's only the 14th today, so.
No, it's 22nd of September. No, I'm looking for something current. Apparently it takes a while for news to filter out of that far in the South.
Yeah, you see it? But you see what I'm saying is when you have an action like that, you figure in, I mean, I know I'm not in a major city, but it is a second tier city. You would figure that by now a police, at least a police press release would have happened, right? The public information officer is usually on that. And we got zero. Now, I do know it's there were sheriff's deputies involved. So I was looking for Bibb County to release, because they always do releases, you know, when they're looking for suspects or there has been an officer involved shooting.
Here we go. 2 days ago.
It'll be Thursday still. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. A man is in critical condition after he fired a gun at deputies in Georgia, then shot himself in the head, according to authorities. Bibb County Sheriff's Office said deputies were investigating a separate case at a housing complex in East Macon Wednesday morning around 10:30 when they noticed a man sitting on a porch who moved a handgun from his pocket to his waistband. Deputies said they tried to speak to the man, but he ran away, firing shots at deputies before turning the gun on himself and shooting himself in the head.
Okay, now let's get specific about this, because I'm pretty sure I'm in South Macon. You said East Macon. What does it give any other details, and are you sure about the date?
Well, let's see. It says when an investigator spoke to the male, he began to run from the apartment building headed towards Main Street. The male fired a shot while fleeing. The male then ran behind some apartments that were located at Main Street and Leaf Street. Once the male was behind the apartment building, he turned the gun towards himself and fired.
Okay, try and find the date. Try and find the exact date on this, because this to me sounds like a different day.
Let's see.
you guys are getting an idea what kind of
area it is. It's dated Wednesday, October 12th, so.
Okay, but that's Wednesday. See, again, this is Thursday.
Well, I'm weeding through here. You got so many shooting down there. We got to weed them out by date.
You see, this is the kind of, yeah, this is where I live.
About a half hour. No, this was at 11:30, not 11:15.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not trying to break your chops. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know.
Look
I know.
Through it Let's and see. Look what happens. You can't even find this.
They got so many shootings, they just picked the wrong one to put on the national end.
Well, but not just the national end. See, now, I tune into WMAZ a lot because Kim makes me. And so I end up catching it, and she's got the news alerts from WMAZ on her phone and all that. It's in my news feeds, my regular feeds to keep track of things locally. And MAZ is usually very good for this, and there's more than one local TV channel for Macon Bibb. Nothing on there, nothing on the radio, okay, and nothing through the regular websites, which even the Atlanta news organizations would be reporting on what's gone on in Macon. But this incident, which I saw, not the incident, but the aftermath of said incident, is nowhere to be found, is what I'm pointing out.
Well, you know, there's, when you've got multiple shootings on a day in that area, you know, the mainstream goes with one. They just happen to pick that one over yours, I guess.
But I'm
it happens here, yeah. You know, when you have, like, Durham. You know, they average 2-3 shootings a day some weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to track some of that stuff. Well, I'll give you an example. Our Naked News guy, James Cody Pickard. He has dropped off the schedule. He's not incarcerated anywhere. He had like a $500,000 bond, 26 different burglary warrants, not counting 10 or 12 more. And he's on the schedule now, but for unrelated stuff. One's a motor vehicle violation. The other one's possession of meth. So he's circling back around. I've gotten a hold of the TV station out there in Asheville and see if they can follow up on it, because they carried the stories about him being the naked man trying to break into a house.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, this guy, he's in no man's land. I can't find him anywhere.
No, but you know, and what I, may have happened I, here, believe it or not, even though you think you can, not every facility is online and searchable. So he could be incarcerated somewhere in a facility.
No, most of, here in North Carolina, all the county jails now are pretty much online. You can go in and find an inmate. You can contribute to his canteen reserves. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty, you know, we got a good system here in the state for
in most,
keeping track of inmates, but
I got you, but
I can't find, unless he's since some other county and I haven't come across it yet, I don't know where he's at.
Well, see, I think that's very possible. What I'm saying is he could be in another facility. He could have been transferred, you know, to a different jurisdiction, and now you're having trouble finding him.
Well, but here's the deal. If he just got charged with meth possession and it happened in a correctional facility, that would have made the news. So I'm thinking he's out on bond and he hasn't, they have either rescheduled his stuff and it hasn't hit the trial date yet because the lawyer hasn't gotten back to the clerk of court, or somehow there's a disposition on it that I can't find yet. So I'm going to let the TV station see if they can dig into it and find out.
No, I got you. It's just that
he's in the netherworld right now.
Yeah, but it's very possible that with a $500,000 bond, I mean, I don't know about you, but I could not make a $500,000 bond. They, you know, if you put me in with $500,000 on a bail, I'm sitting, because there's no way I'm raising that.
He was at $400,000 bond before they charged him with trying to hit a sheriff's officer with a car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's assault with a deadly weapon. They're going after a uniformed officer, so that would have denied bail, I would have thought.
Well, you would think so. But even with a high bond, or if his bail was denied, if he was still sitting in the same facility, you'd be able to find him. See, this is my point. These guys now, this guy with a whole bunch of stacked charges, he's going to be sitting somewhere, most likely. And you know the other funny trick is sometimes you got these guys making bail, and the second they make bail, when they walk out, there's somebody waiting to take him into custody to go somewhere
else. But I'm wondering, maybe he's on home detention with an ankle monitor. And that's how he could get charged with meth.
That's a possibility,
know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no telling.
But either way, we got the, that's my thing. We got no way of verifying exactly where this guy went.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like this thing in Raleigh. You know, we went hours and hours before we finally found out it was a juvenile that was responsible for shooting people. And they've been very tight-lipped about this case because the alleged shooter is in critical condition at the hospital, and they're not saying how he got that way.
I don't know. This is what I'm saying. When people, you know, yell at me that, oh, no, they absolutely report everything that, you know, happens on. No, they don't. It's impossible, but B, even things that you would think would be significant disturbances are not always necessarily reflected in the news. That's all.
You know why? And this is a lot of it, is the loss of print news. Every local paper that was thriving in the 50s, 60s, 70s had local police blotters. And that's why people bought the paper. You know, And so records of it back then locally, you know, were kept. There was always a news article about it or a list of people. I mean, even down to bad checks, crap like that. So our media today is just, there's so much out there. They filter it out, and the local stuff is pretty much told by word of mouth nowadays.
Well, but it's a significant throwback, you know, to the time when, you know, they only had an hour at night. And even in a good area, there was no way they were going to cover all of anything, all of the crime, all of the goings on.
Which is strange, because now local news in the area I'm at, you know, the three major network channels, they all have news starting early.
Mm-hmm.
One of them starts at 4:30 in the afternoon, and they carry on until 6:30 when the national news kicks in. So it's amazing how our media is so overwhelming now. And yet we are conveying less information.
Yeah, that's another good point. It's another good point.
It is crazy.
I hear you. So anyway.
So how did the debate go?
The debate between Warnock and Herschel Walker. I've actually got some of it recorded, which is partially why I was late. I recorded a little more than 15 minutes of it, which it was an hour-long debate. From 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and it was well-structured. I'll give them that. But not like the candidates really totally adhered to the structure. Or at least Walker didn't. Seemed to have one particular point he wanted to drive home. And that, you know, from what I could gather, because I didn't see the whole thing. But from what I could gather, that is he made one point over and over again. And Warnock was trying to deal with him, and the two of them spent some significant time pretty much throwing shade on each other. It was pretty interesting to me.
I understand that Herschel Walker's mom has gotten involved in this somehow, some statement she's made.
Really? I didn't see that yet.
Yes, I saw that. Let me see if I can find it. It was today. Okay. But go ahead. How did one question. Is Kemp and Abrams going to debate?
You know, I don't think we're clear on that still, if they're going to debate. If they are, I will make sure to get it and record some of it because, you know, this wasn't available on regular broadcast in my area, so I had to go to a website to find out how to watch it and all that, and I got it through an odd feed. But it was pretty interesting. I think it was broadcast in the Savannah area of Georgia, which is quite a bit further away from me than some people might think. It's one of the more rich areas. It's an odd place. And this is after a bunch of wrangling over they were going to do three debates or whatever, and they ended up just doing the one. Do you want to take a listen to some of it? I mean, I can pause it and whatever, and we can discuss what we've heard. I tried to catch, I think, the last three complete sections and their final words.
Yeah, we can go through it. Can you stop it a section at a time?
Yeah, I can stop it anywhere, you know, and we can.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
I think that would be entertaining.
Yeah, but the thing is, I want to do it all in one swoop during one segment. So do you want to extend this segment and we'll do the debate and then we'll, after we're done with the debate, close out the segment?
Well, I was going to say, how close are we to a break here? We're going to take one, what, at 22?
Well, I was going to, about 22, but the thing is, it would be about 11, 12 minutes from now, which the debate piece is 15 minutes long. We could, like I said, just extend it out.
Let's do this. Let's kick it around for about 10 minutes. We'll take our break, and when we come back, we'll play the debate and discuss it for the next segment.
That's what I was saying, is that I actually wanted to get all the way through the file on the debates because I recorded it all in one file. So we could, do it during the one segment, like not break, during the debate piece. So either we take a break and then do the debate, or we do the debate, then take the break. Which way do you want to go?
We'll take a break and then we'll do the debate. Is anyone on the lines?
You know what? I should check. 319-527-5016. I was getting into the discussion with you. Nobody has called in yet. No.
Here's the Herschel Walker thing. Apparently, he claimed to have Native American heritage, and his mom said that was a surprise to her.
Yeah, well, there's that. Oh, by the way, Native Americans come up in this debate. Just not this about him claiming to have any heritage.
Yeah, it says Herschel Walker's full-blooded Cherokee claim is news to his mom. Mm.
They did discuss him having the multiple personality disorder during the part I recorded, I think. So there's that.
This is getting wacky.
And
you know, it's a statement to our politics when someone like Herschel Walker can run and be a viable candidate for a major party in a state.
That's what I've been saying, you know.
Isn't it grand?
Well, that's what I've been saying, and everybody's like, oh, you just want to pick on the Republicans. I'm like, no, this guy is special.
He is. I mean, God love him. He was a great football player. Yeah. He has all my respect. I mean, he was a hero on the field in that he did his job and he was good at what he did.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You know, some people just don't need to get into politics.
Listen, I loved George Foreman as a boxer, and I don't care that he sold grills, right? But
I loved him as a grill salesman. I mean, that man is a born salesman.
Look, no problem, but I don't care that he did that. Now, if he was running for Congress, I'm not voting for him. I mean, I'm just telling you.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I would consider voting for George Foreman. He seems to be a little more sensible than a lot of our sports stars today.
Look, fair enough, but I mean, I'm trying to go with the best, you know, that's really, it's not Mike Tyson, you know what I'm saying, who was an awesome force of nature in the ring, but this is a guy I'm not giving, you know, an alderman seat to, okay? I'm not.
Well, true, Mike but Tyson. I think George, I'll be honest, I think George Foreman can handle it. He's a smart guy. Believe it or
all
not.
Right, maybe. But even with the best, I'm just saying that, you know, I don't look to sports guys to go ahead and try and run the country.
But then again, the best are never going to run.
You know,
that's where we're at now.
For a while
there. We can't get the people that would be good at it to run.
I mean, for a while there were people that wanted to, you know, get Schwarzenegger to run for president, right?
Oh,
they would have to change the rules a little bit, you know, because you want to talk about an argument over who's, he's not anywhere near a natural born citizen.
You remember that, though, right? Or The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. No, I don't think I want a former pro wrestler as a president. Sorry.
Well, you've already had a member of the pro wrestling, you know, the WWE Hall of Fame as a president. So, why not? I mean, there are some former pro wrestlers I would not mind in the White House, you know.
No, I'm sorry. Their former job precludes them from being president. I'm sorry.
So you couldn't go with like Gold Dust 2024 or something, right?
No, I got it.
You know, the Miz.
I might even stop and pull up that sign off someone's lawn.
The Miz for Prez.
Yeah. I mean, what was her name?
Hulk Hogan.
McMahon's wife, wasn't she Stephanie? Secretary of Transportation or some crap?
She was, in charge of the Small Business Administration.
There you go.
Yeah. Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
But, you know, could you imagine Vince McMahon being president?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Give me a break.
He's the one who let.
Where's Pat Paulson when you need him?
Okay. Anyways, so should we play the debate or should we take a break?
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll do the debate.
Sounds good. Herschel Walker versus Raphael Warnock. At least the last 15 minutes of it, we'll study it a bit. Me and B. Pete, and get to your calls, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. The Friday night open mic on the Ocelli Effect is live, and if you're hearing the podcast, well, it's not live. And you can't call in.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Senator Warnock, we need to move forward here. You have been very open about your struggles with mental illness, and you even wrote a book about dissociative, your diagnosis of dissociative identity disorder. We recently asked if you were still receiving treatment, and this is what you had to say.
No, that's all done, and you don't need to, and that's why I tell people. I think one thing I told people is...
Mr. Walker, in 30 seconds, can you clarify this? Are you saying you no longer have dissociative identity disorder, or is this something that you continue to this day to
manage? No, you don't have to have treatment for it. And I encourage people to continue to talk to people. Yeah, I talk to my pastors. I talk to my pastors, and I continue to get help if I need help. But I don't need any help. I'm doing well. But that's the reason why I tell anyone out there that is suffering from any type of mental illness, you can get help. All you got to do is ask. And I will always, always be a champion for mental health.
And just to clarify, how can Georgia voters, though, be assured that this will not impact your ability to lead if elected?
Because I'm ready to lead.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Go ahead, call.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before, that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect begins now here on a Friday night. And if you're hearing us live on the 14th day of October 2022, we're just 36 minutes, 37 minutes after the 8 p.m. hour here in the eastern part of the U.S., U.S. Eastern Time. Then we're live and glad to have you with us. You can call in 319-527-5016 or you can reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. And if you ask me to, I will call you into the show. So anyway, B. Pete is with me, my co-host. And like I said, you could join us and I already gave you those instructions. So I'm not going to repeat them this time. Anyway, we were talking about getting into playing some of this debate. I'm actually anxious to play maybe a section of it at a time and see what you have to say about it.
Yeah, if it's in question form, you can play it a section at a time. And for those people who aren't familiar, this is the Senate race for Georgia where you've got the incumbent, Raphael Warnock, who is an American pastor. He's the junior senator from Georgia since 2021, member of the Democratic Party, and he assumed office in January of 2021. So he's only been there, a year and a half?
Right, under a special election.
Because, that was a runoff, wasn't it?
Well, there was a special election, and then there was this weird runoff situation where there was a whole bunch of people actually running for the seats, and... There was two senators were seated at the same time, although, like you said, the one term runs out. So the one guy, which is Warnock, ends up with a 1 year that's remaining on somebody else's term. Now he's running for his own term.
Yeah, and as an incumbent, I mean, usually incumbents stand a better chance in any election. So, he's running against Herschel Walker, who, for those who are not sports initiated, He was a Heisman Trophy winner in 1982, University of Georgia. He went on to play with the Dallas Cowboys. He was traded to Minnesota, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Giants.
Right.
So he had a good career as a NFL player, and now he decides he's qualified to run for the Senate.
Right. And of course, the larger joke is that he was like a running back, so he's running again, you know, blah, blah. But, and Warnock in his, previous life, not only a minister, but actually he's speaking from the same pulpit that Martin Luther King Jr. did.
Yes, isn't he what? He's head pastor at, Ebenezer Baptist Church.
Right. So yes. He's in the same spot that Martin Luther King Jr. was. Now, I am by no means saying that he's anything like Martin Luther King Jr., but it just so happens he occupies that particular place. And it's interesting because, generally speaking, Georgia does not send two Democrats to the Senate, at least
yes.
not for decades. And
in fact, Warnock was one of the first Democrats elected to the U.S. Senate from Georgia since 2000.
Yeah.
20-some odd years. So
it so happens in that very same special election where Warnock was sent, the regular other Senate seat was also occupied by a Democrat, that guy's name even slips my mind. It was White Boy Roy there. I can't remember. He was just like oddly, you know, just young white guy who was very vanilla. And if he didn't have such a corrupt opponent, he might have not squeaked in. And both of them, you know, squeaked in by a very thin margin, but got in. Now,
yeah.
Warnock has had a lead in this particular race, according to polls, thus far. Okay?
Well, and another note of achievement for Warnock, he's the first, he's the first black Democrat to be elected to the Senate by any former state of the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, so he did pull off, he did accomplish something in his win.
Yeah, no, he did. And as I said, the two Republican challengers, and there was more, by the way, there was something like eight candidates running all at once for these two seats. It was kind of an open-ended sort of thing. You had a very extreme socialist type candidate, who got nowhere. You had a very, libertarian candidate who got nowhere. And really it boiled straight down to the Democrat versus Republican. It was, a tense night there in the 2020. I guess it was decided in 2020, right? Because he took office in 2021. So
yeah.
I guess he was part of that wave, yes, from the same year that that presidential election took place where Biden went into the White House, right? Okay.
Yes.
So all of that background, and now lots and lots of controversies, and if we wanted to sit here and list all of Herschel Walker's controversies... Okay, we'd probably take up the rest of the show. Baby mama drama, possibly paid for abortions, he supposedly held a gun to his ex-girlfriend's head, all kinds of stuff. Okay, folks, all over the map, he's got multiple personality disorder, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Anyway, this I found interesting because this is the tail end of the debate, which was an hour long, and I've got 15 minutes of it. So as I see that each section is sort of completed, I'll pause it and get B. Pete's comments on it. Okay, you ready to roll, B. Pete?
Sure, let her rip.
Okay, now while they're hearing the debate, they're not going to hear us. So when I stop is when I'll turn our microphones back on, okay?
So, all right.
Okay, here we go. Oh, this ought to be fun.
Senator Warnock, we need to move forward here. You have been very open about your struggles with mental illness, and you even wrote a book about your diagnosis of dissociative identity disorder. We recently asked if you were still receiving treatment, and this is what you had to say.
No, that's all done, and you don't need to, and that's why I tell people. I think one thing I told people is...
Mr. Walker, in 30 seconds, can you clarify this? Are you saying you no longer have... dissociative identity disorder, or is this something that you continue to this day to
manage? No, you don't have to have treatment for it. And I encourage people to continue to talk to people. Yeah, I talk to my pastors, and I continue to get help if I need help. But I don't need any help. I'm doing well. But that's the reason why I tell anyone out there that is suffering from any type of mental illness, you can get help. All you got to do is ask. And I will always, always be a champion for mental health.
And just to clarify, how can Georgia voters, though, be assured that this will not impact your ability to lead if elected?
Because I'm ready to lead today. I'm ready to vote with the Georgia voters, whereas Senator Warnock has voted with Joe Biden 96% of the time. I'm ready to vote with the Georgia voters today.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll move on to our next topic. Tina?
Okay, BP. Your impressions of what you just... I'm sorry, I can't help but laugh. Your impressions of what you just heard?
Well, typical response, you know, from somebody that has come out with things in their past and writing books and things like that. Now they have to answer for them. You know, basically people have a right to ask, are you still under treatment for this disorder or what? Who was it that... Was it ran against Nixon and there was a question about seeing therapy in the past? Was it Muskie? No, it wasn't Muskie. Who was it?
I can't remember that off the top of my head.
Anyway, I mean, mental illness has been a thing brought out periodically by different campaigns against people they're running against. It's an ongoing thing. Walker's response, I mean, is expected. You know, what do you expect him to say? Of course, you know.
Well, what's interesting
to
me,
how much it matters to people is an individual thing. I don't know that it could be a vote killer, but you know, people are going to question. I mean, and all the other stuff going on, yeah, people are going to question his sanity. I question it sometime.
Well, it's interesting because to me, it's not even the worry about. I mean, you're going to have that judgment one way or another. Either you think somebody who has had dissociative identity disorder is recoverable or not. That's it. And if you don't think so, you don't want to vote for this guy because you don't know which personality is going to show up to work. Okay. If you're saying, you know, look, he got treatment. He's fine now. He says he's fine. Good. Okay. I don't care about any of that. What I find interesting is that he contradicts himself right in front of you. You don't need treatment for that. You know what? I don't need treatment for that. I had treatment. I want to encourage people. If you want help, go get help. I mean, like, where are you coming from on this?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of like your underwear. It's up to you when it comes to help on something like that. You know, you don't need treatment for that. I had treatment for that. Maybe I found out I didn't need treatment for that. I was paying money to a doctor. I really wasn't doing anything other than I couldn't do myself.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, that can, I don't know. You play that several ways, but
to me, it's
just
so...
another blemish. It's another blemish on the potato, which makes you put him back in the stack.
Well, to me, it's another thing where you didn't give a decisive answer, did you?
No, he danced. You know?
So, and I get it. Look, politician giving a decisive answer, I know I'm asking too much. But still, to me, this should be something he should be like, look, and the most easy way to diffuse this is, look, I made judgments for myself and I did what I had to do for me. And I think you should do the same. And that would be the end of it. You know what I'm saying? That should be the way it's played, not... Well, get help, don't get help. I mean, I'm going to talk to my pastor. Now, I know that that is the viable solution to just about everything for some people in Georgia. Go talk to your church, man. That's what you do. And I know that that resonated with a lot of the crowd, which is funny because even though there's a little bit of hostility, it seems like, and this is what I gauged from what I was able to see before this and what I'm about to play for you, it seemed like the news people that were asking the questions had some hostility.
It didn't sound like it was a normal question and answer.
Yeah.
It was a gotcha moment.
But they were hostile to both of them, but a little more to Walker. The people in the audience, I got to be honest with you, all seemed to be on his side.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they clap for him. They're laughing when he's making a joke out of Warnock. I mean, you take a listen to this, see if you don't pick it up.
You know, that's something that, you know, and you see this in debate. You look at the crowd reaction. They're reacting positively to him. Does it mean that, you know, people are willing to overlook anything and just vote party?
See, there's your good question.
Is that what we're seeing?
There's your good question, and we're going to get into that because at some point they do put the question.
Did somebody stack the audience?
Well, that's the other thing. They do put the question to each of them, by the way, about... You know, I mean, obviously, Herschel Walker, you going to support Trump if he runs? And they put the same kind of question to Warnock. Hey, listen, Biden's old. You're gonna support him if he wants to run again? And it is interesting to me the way both of them answered that question. I found this the most fascinating part of the debate. Okay. So, but that's later. So we'll have to hold it off. Let's play another segment and I'll just, stop it where I stop it. And I really want to get your first hot takes on all this, B-Pete. So let's go for the next segment.
And that topic, gentlemen, is health insurance. Georgia is one of 12 states that have not accepted federal funding to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Mr. Walker, with more than 1.5 million Georgians uninsured, in 1 minute, is it time for the federal government to step in to ensure all Georgians have access to health care?
Well, right now, people have coverage for health care. It's according to what type of coverage do you want. Because if you have an able-bodied job, you're going to have health care. But everyone else have health care is the type of health care you're going to get. And I think that is the problem. And what Senator Warnock want you to do is depend on the government. What I want you to do is get off the government health care and get on the health care he's got to get you a better health care. So that's what I'm trying to do, to make you independent rather than dependent.
Okay, I'm pausing this here for one reason. B-Pete, did you not hear him again contradict himself effectively? Because
yes.
He says that, oh, everybody who's got an able-bodied job, first of all, has health care. Okay, I don't know what planet he lives on. Anybody who's got an able-bodied job has health care? That's not true. Next is, well, I want you people to have the same health care that Warnock has. Well, as a senator, he would have government health care, the best level of Obamacare, actually, I think they have there in the Senate, don't they? I mean, unless I'm
wrong.
Well,
it's not even Obamacare. It's one of those, it's really one of those gold programs that they talk about.
Mm.
Taxing.
Ah, okay. But isn't that interesting? I want you to be independent, have his health care.
Yeah, because if you remember, you know, when they passed the Affordable Care Act, it exempted Congress.
Mm-hmm. Right. But so. It's still government health care. He's saying, I want you to go out independently.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is...
somebody pushed for that a while back. I forget who it was. That was something they brought out during their run. And this was what, 8 years ago? The fact that, you know, these senators and congressmen have health protection. And, you know, if it's so good, then we ought to put everybody on it. I thought maybe it was Bernie.
A few people. Well, a few people said it's like, hey, listen, you guys want to debate about this. Why don't you give them what you got? More than one person has said that, and I understand that, but simultaneously, if you're saying don't be on the government health care, then you can't encourage people to go get what the senator has, right?
What it shows is that Herschel Walker has no clue as to how health care works.
Ah.
None whatsoever.
And why? Because he's probably got enough money that he has decent health care.
He's got his health care through the NFL.
Right.
Through the players union.
He's got his pension or whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So... this is a guy who does not know what those 1.5 or whatever they cited the figure of people in Georgia without health care. You know, one of them talking to you right now.
Yeah, and our state is a lot like Georgia. They have not voted to expand Medicare, although it has come up here recently in talks in the House. So, you know, it may be something that they're leaning towards. They're thinking seriously about it now where... 4 years ago, they just automatically dismissed it.
Well, and you know, you and I have had this discussion about healthcare before, and which is more disturbing, I ask you, audience, not you, B-Pete, which is more disturbing, what you just heard from Herschel Walker or what we're about to hear from Raphael Warnock? Okay? So, you know, just thinking about it, not like I want, you know, mother government to take care of everything. I'm not a socialist or, you know, some liberal who thinks the government's supposed to pay for everything. I'm not that, but same time, yeah, I don't think people should be dying because they can't afford to live either. So, you know, something is wrong with the system. I've always said it. I stand by it. No, I don't think it's right the way it is. Okay. And, but anyway, let's enjoy what we're about to hear in this exchange. Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Senator Warnock, you have 1 minute. You've vowed to close the Medicaid gap by expanding access coverage in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. So this comes with a $50 billion price tag, the national debt already at an all-time high. Where is this money coming from? You have 60 seconds, sir.
This is not a theoretical issue for me. When I think about health care, I think about Lori Davis, a trauma nurse in Covington, Georgia, who spent her career taking care of people.
Real quick, I mean, just to throw this in because I know I'll forget about it later. Here comes the political gaming. This isn't really because he cares about Lori, whoever the hell. He is now virtue signaling about how he cares about the frontline workers, the first responding people, the people that are in healthcare. He's trying to virtue signal hard on the left. That's all that is, in case somebody thinks, oh, maybe this is an answer with integrity. Get the hell out of here. Here's the rest of it.
And then she got sick, and she had to give up that job, and as she got sicker and sicker, she found herself without health care. She was one of the 600,000 Georgians in the Medicaid gap. She died for lack of health care. And so I ran, saying that I would fight to expand Medicaid. Georgia needs to expand Medicaid. It costs us more not to expand. What we're doing right now is we're subsidizing health care in other states. Meanwhile, we've seen 10 hospitals in this state close, 10. And the Atlanta Medical Center, right down the street from my church, where I visit my members, has announced that it's going to close. And so Georgia needs a senator who believes, like I do, that health care is a human right. And I will continue to fight until the working class people, by the way, the folks who don't have health care, they work every single day. The folks who are in the gap.
And I believe in
the folks.
Let me finish.
The folks who are in the gap are the working poor.
We are moving on, Senator Warnock.
I believe in health care, but he didn't mention that.
Listen, Mr. Walker, if I can get your attention, please. In just a few weeks, WellStar will close its doors. This is Atlanta Medical Center, which primarily serves patients in lower income and minority communities. Hospitals nationwide are dealing with nursing shortages, doctor shortages in the wake of the pandemic. Mr. Walker, what measures can Congress enact to ensure everyone has access to hospitals and doctors? You have 30 seconds, sir.
Well, first of all, Senator Warnock was correct that he believed in working with people, but he didn't do it because Governor Kemp has a plan that would have been a very good plan. But he stood back while Biden destroyed the plan. And he's talking about he believes in an extension of it. He stood back. Well, what the people can be assured of is I'm willing to meet with hospital administrators, meet with people rather than writing a letter, because Senator Warnock waited till they made the decision and wrote a letter. And I said they don't need a pen pal. They need solutions.
We are moving on now, Senator Warnock. That same question to you, sir. What measures can Congress enact to ensure everyone has access to hospitals and doctors? You have 30 seconds.
Well, clearly he doesn't have a solution.
He said I'll meet with administrators. That's a solution.
His solution is to meet. My solution is to pass legislation, which I've done. I got $4 billion in the American Rescue Plan to help the non-expansion states to do what they should have done to expand. They left that money on the table. Georgia left 600,000 Georgians in the Medicaid gap. And so I'm going to keep standing up because people are literally dying for lack of health care. Dr. King said that of all the injustices, inequality in health care is the most shocking and the most inhumane. I agree with Dr. King.
Okay. Now, Pete, your impressions of what you just heard there, because, again, we got, you know, we had to tag on the Dr. King virtue signal. But Walker and his response, again, here we go. We got a regular pivot. We got Walker's response. What did you hear?
Well, Warnock, another individual that really doesn't understand how things work when it comes to health care, mm-hmm. and whose legislation has helped cause the problem, his, you know, $4 billion for the Recovery Act, mm-hmm. or whatever it was. They've passed so many of them, was nothing more than inflationary bull. I mean, it was just pork.
Right.
That's all it was. It's not going to benefit anything. It's going to be eaten up by the bureaucracy in $4 billion is not a lot when you consider a nationwide health crisis.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, here's two individuals that really don't understand how things work when it comes. You know, Medicare expansion is one thing. The problem is Medicare doesn't fully fund everything for the state. They provide monies for a certain amount of time, and then the state has to come up and make up the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just an easy thing for a state to say, okay, we're going to take on that financial burden, because it does affect each and every state.
Right.
Now, so for Georgia to be able to expand healthcare, it's going to take more than $4 billion in a recovery act that, you know, how much of that is local, how much of that is going nationwide. And then Walker responding to it, it's just incoherent.
I mean, he
can't form a formal thought or a sentence. He jumps around so much, you don't know what his point is. Oh, well, he wrote a letter, but he just stood back. You know, tell us what, give us some information that it's going to help us decide against the individual you're running against.
Well, ultimately, right, the only point that he's making is that Warnock is on the side of the Democrats. This problem with, oh, Kemp had a plan. Kemp passed what he wanted to pass, and they didn't take the extra Medicaid money. They didn't take the extra. This is one of those states, right?
Right. Kemp had a plan. Warnock has nothing to do with that. If Kemp has a plan, you know, Warnock can't do anything to affect that plan because he's in Washington. He's a senator. He doesn't have anything to do with Georgia implementing something through its own legislature.
Right. And the other thing is that Kemp implemented his plan. His plan was, basically did nothing. And then he ended up with a budget surplus, which, you know what he did? He wrote checks. He gave everybody these virtual debit cards just a couple of weeks ago. That if you were on food stamps or Medicaid or whatever, he gave you some money. I'm not kidding. That's what he did.
Buy a few votes, yeah.
He just
straight up
bought votes.
That's the American way. Isn't it wonderful?
But my point is that neither one of them mentions that's what they did with the budget surplus instead of maybe keeping a hospital open or something. See, that's the thing.
You know, and Georgia at one time, I remember when South Carolina was trying to get the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine worked, he was an actor, he was in theater, he got a job doing commercials. And it was the old lottery commercials that showed the good old boy Bubba working in the convenience store in Georgia talking about how much money South Carolina spent in the state of Georgia on lottery. You know, the fact that you've got free education now for citizens of Georgia paid through for the lottery and all that. Wonderful marketing plan. You know, Georgia has had some successes, but when it comes to health care, I don't think any state is capable of taking on the Goliath of federal government and the health care. They've been in bed with each other for so long now.
Right.
You're not going to solve the problem until you take care of the problem of big pharma, big medicine, and these institutional health care systems that are swallowing everything up. Local community hospital is a thing of the past.
Well, and the state lottery thing becomes a really unfair argument, and I'll tell you why. Every state, if you become surrounded by a whole bunch of states that have a legal state lottery, you have no choice but to basically sign up. And you know why? Because otherwise, on all of your border areas, everybody who lives there is going to cross the state line. And, yeah, they're going to grow into South Carolina and go buy.
Oh, I know. I hated it when North Carolina got the lottery. I used to go to Virginia. I'd buy my lottery tickets there. I would win. I would win enough to cover my trips and put a little pocket change in there.
There you go.
As soon as North Carolina got the lottery, I haven't hit a number to save my life.
But the thing is, North Carolina had no choice once they were surrounded. Because otherwise, a whole bunch of money is just walking out of their state.
Well, they sold it here on education. I mean, that's what got it passed. We're going to put all this money towards schools.
Well, for God's sake,
the majority of the budget is spent towards promoting the lottery.
Of course it is. That's the funniest part of it, is that they did that in every state, though, BP. Don't feel special. Because even in New Jersey, I remember looking back at it going, how is it that they gamed this to that, you know, 90% of this money is actually going back into the lottery system
that's
supposed to be benefiting, because all of it says it benefits New Jersey state education. Yeah, it does, but 90% of the money is back in the hands of the lottery. And they don't spend it on great technology. They go for the lowest bidder. They get the crappiest technology. They pay the crappiest paper companies. I swear to God. They do. They get worst.
I mean, here they have had some success in being able to fund new schools in that, because the majority of the money that does go towards education goes towards new school construction, things like that.
But
the problem with the education system here, and I'm sure it's this way in a lot of other states, the problem is you have the education system, which is eating up the majority of this state budget. Okay. That covers everything from facilities to teachers' pay. But the biggest thing that's not addressed is the administration of the state school system, right, and the money that is sucked up by these administrators on down to the principal level. Mm. And the teachers are complaining about not having enough money. Look at where it's going. It's going to those people above you that are setting all these mandates that you have to meet, which just adds to your daily hour grindage that you can put out towards getting students to where they can pass a competency exam. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and the sad condition of North Carolina schools, I got to see firsthand, because remember I told you I was working for that glass company, that institutional glass? We did a bunch of schools, okay? The most fun I had was going to my daughter's high school. I was working in my daughter's high school while she was there. That was pretty funny. It was like, hey, I'm putting in windows in your school. But when I went there, okay, I'm not a construction expert. BP, you know this. You know I've been around some construction, but I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form. I'm not an engineer, okay? None of this, all right? Every time I went to a North Carolina school to go put in glass, and it was several times, I would wind up looking at the guy I'm working for going, is this safe? Because the condition of the schools in North Carolina that I was working in Farmville, in Kinston, forget it. But in a bunch of these towns, it was like I could not believe the old stuff, the stuff that was falling apart, the pathetic condition of many things in these schools. Okay. And I'm looking at it going, how is it that they don't put money into this? The building is a mess. Every bit of these buildings. And we're replacing windows because, you know, rain is pouring in. I mean, we're fixing stuff.
There was a time in this state where, and I'll give you an example just where I went to school. When I started junior high school, we had a school that had been around, mm-hmm. I want to say it was built back in maybe the 30s. And it was the old type of school where your assembly hall was like on the middle floor, and it had the pull down wooden partitions from up high, and then you had a basketball court on each side. So it doubled as the auditorium and a gymnasium.
Oh yeah.
You know, the real old school with a stage up there in the center section and all this. Well, you know, we would play basketball and the floor tiles would come loose and go flying across the court.
Yep.
They went through a period of where they said, well, it's cheaper to build new than try to maintain the old because the infrastructure was so old. Mm-hmm. We closed down three schools, my graduating class from junior high, the next school we went to. They did away with them. I mean, because they were in such bad shape. But that was the premise back then. You know, we'll build new, get rid of the old. They could have made use of the old, but they decided to just knock them in. Instead of converting them into administration buildings, things of that nature.
Well, they made a massive mistake, and I'm going to tell you why, because the schools I'm talking about that I saw, they were not old.
Oh, I know. Then came along the years of cheap, quick construction.
Let's
build as many schools as we can.
Yep.
So we're working out of that cycle now.
Well, I took window panes out. Okay, just think about this for a second. I took window panes out gently, carefully, out of a classroom and literally had, you know, the upper part of the crossbeam collapse on me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting there going, what in the hell? And my boss, you know, what did you do wrong? He looked at it. He said, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just, this was going to fall, like the window was keeping part of the wall up. You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is not an old school.
The The high school that my mother would have graduated from was also the high school that I attended. We were the last graduating class of that school.
Okay.
So it had been around a while. You know, they did the smart thing when they built the new high school. You know, they couldn't build the auditorium right away, so they still used the auditorium at the old school, and it was used for a lot of other civic functions and things of that nature. Right. But eventually they converted it to elderly apartments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made good use of infrastructure for a long-term project that allowed them to be able to do something for the community with a building that otherwise would have just caved in,
right,
or been bulldozed and put in a truck and hauled off. So, you know, being able to capitalize on retrofitting or reusing infrastructure that a school system has would help ease the pains, either through selling property, through rehabbing property and selling it, or build to own. You know, we'll build this to whoever wants to buy it to your specs. We'll sell it to you as a package deal at the end. Right. Things like that that are being done in communities that are going to help the situation. But when it comes to these two arguing about, you know, healthcare and hospitals closing, you know, hospital closures, we're going through that in this area now. Every town of, say, 40,000 people had a hospital, and those are being bought up by UNC Healthcare, several Novant Health, you know, big organizations, statewide organizations that are now getting into healthcare at an industrial level.
Right.
And that's what we're experiencing now. Every 40 miles, there's a small town with a hospital that's either closed because it was bought by one of these big systems and then eliminated to make people travel to their bigger hospitals, or they're on the verge of being closed, and is somebody going to come and gobble them up, or are they just going to shut the doors? We're facing that now.
Well, and that's in the meantime, they run them bare bones, and you know, and people, you know, wait 30 hours.
The two biggest hospitals in this area, you know, they compete for nurses right now. So for 6 months, this hospital will offer $1,000 signing bonus. You got to work 6 months to get the bonus. You know, this one over here will give you $500 up front. We don't care how long, as long as you're employed. 30 days, you get it in your paycheck. So it's a big battle going on right now.
Right.
Between local hospitals, it's like teachers. You know, there's a bidding war going on here for teachers in this area because of the local supplement that they pay teachers in these county systems. So it becomes a money-making game. You know, it's funny, teaching in this state is the only time that you can get basically accept additional money from a system to pay you to come to work there. No other state employee gets allowed to do that, you know. It's kind of weird. It's almost like a bribe through the back door.
Right.
To get you to come here.
Let's continue on with the debate because we only got about 5 minutes through it, believe it or not. So
let's let it rip.
Let's let it rip.
Thank you, Senator Warnock. Buck, now the next topic.
Thank you, Tina. We're going to talk about foreign policy now. Russian President Vladimir Putin has threatened to use nuclear weapons in the conflict with Ukraine, prompting President Biden to claim that we are on the verge of Armageddon. Senator Warnock, if nuclear weapons are used, how should the United States respond? You have 60 seconds.
Well, first of all, I'm glad that we are standing up to Putin's aggression. And we have to continue to stand up, which is why I stood up to the Biden administration when it suggested that we should close the Savannah Combat Readiness Training Center. I told the president that was the exact wrong thing to do at the exact wrong time, and I'm glad that I was able to stand up with Congressman Buddy Carter and others, and we kept that training center open. I've seen up close what those service members do. They are the tip of the spear, and we have to make sure that our service members know that we have their back. We have to strengthen our allies and the NATO alliance, as we've done, and make sure we stand up to Russian aggression. Nothing could be more important.
Mr. Walker, the same question to you. If nuclear weapons are used, how should the U.S. respond? You have 60 seconds.
Well, first of all, you talked about standing up. You didn't stand up to Chuck Schumer when you could have got a helicopter company here of almost $1 billion. You let it go to New York. You didn't stand up then. You didn't stand up to Biden when he left American people and had 13 military soldiers killed in Afghanistan. You didn't stand up then. So what we can do is, Putin is a bully. In a way, you beat a bully, show strength. Well, Senator Warnock said he stood up. He not stood up to Biden. If he was standing up, he wouldn't have voted with him 96% of the time, which gave us an open border, which gave us high inflation, which gave us crime in the streets. And he's talking about standing up. He didn't stand up. He had laid down every time it came around. And you know that, Senator.
It is evident that he has a point that he tries to make time and time again. I've stood up to the Biden administration so they could keep open this combat training readiness center, stood with our congressional delegation to do that. I've worked across the aisle time and time to get good things done for the people of Georgia. I worked with a senator from Texas to bail out I-14. I worked with a Republican senator from Alabama to help Georgia farmers get their products to market. I will work with anyone and stand up against anybody I need to stand up against to get good things done for Georgia. I work for the people of Georgia.
We need to move forward to our next topic, gentlemen. Our time is running short. Both of you have strong backing from your respective parties. Senator Warnock, a simple yes or no here. You will have a chance to explain, but I'd like a simple yes or no. Would you support President Biden running for a second term in 2024?
I've not spent a minute thinking about what politician should run for what in 2024.
Is that a yes or a no?
The answer is I have not. And maybe this is difficult. Maybe this is difficult for people to understand because that's how politicians think. I think that part of the problem with our politics right now is that it's become too much about the politicians. You're asking me who's going to run in 24? The people of Georgia get to decide who's going to be their senator in 3 days, Monday. And I hope they'll show up and vote. And I'd be honored to represent them in the Senate.
You haven't thought about it. If you can think about it now, in 2024, the president will turn 82 years old. Are you concerned about his physical and his mental fitness at that time? You have 30 seconds.
The people of Georgia hired me to represent them, regardless of who's in the White House. I'm honored to do that job every single day. My dad said, if somebody hires you to do a job, do the job they hired you to do. They didn't hire me to be a pundit. And I'm working every single day for hardworking families in Georgia, for our women, for our workers, and for kids like me growing up in places like Caton Homes.
Mr. Walker, former President Trump is also considering a run for the White House in 2024. If you can give me a simple yes or no answer, and we'll give you time to explain as well, would you support a Trump 2024 run?
Yes, I would. And let me tell you, President Trump is my friend. Has nothing to do with that. He's my friend. I won't leave my allies, which is what Senator Warnock and Joe Biden did in Afghanistan. They left their allies. They left their allies, and right now on a foreign stage, a lot of these people don't trust us no more. They don't trust us to be strong anymore. So they're waiting to see who's going to stand up, who's going to trust. And they have no one to trust right now because, I said, President Trump is my friend, and he won't stand up with Biden when yet he's voted with him 96% of the time. Let's be real.
Mr. Walker, are you concerned about the ongoing legal investigations around the country and including here in Georgia? You have 30 seconds.
Well, first of all, I would hope that Senator Warnock, he and myself being people of color, would want the scales of justice to not have a hand on it. We want the Lady Justice to be blind, but in this instance here, Lady Justice is not blind. And I said, right now, with everything that is going on, what I like to do is get to what's important. What's important is protecting the border. What's important is protecting people on the street. What's important is getting this inflation down. Not what's going on there in Washington, talking about whether President Trump is guilty or not guilty. What I want to do is see due process, which is what I hope Senator Warnock and myself would love to see.
Changing topics now, we're going to move forward just to give you guys both an update that you may want to know, although the news is not great if you're a Braves fan. Right now they're in the top of the ninth inning, Game 3, National League Division Series, down 9-1 to the Phillies. Not a great night for the Braves.
Okay, so we're going to get into a question about the Braves coming up, but your thoughts on what we just heard?
Well, it's just two representatives of parties going at it, hoping that my party beats your party. They're clueless. Absolutely clueless. Both of them.
Can't say it any better than you just did. So let's get on to this baseball question.
Yeah, they're arguing about, I don't know, Trump. I agree with Warnock. I don't care who runs in 2 years. I'm talking about this election now. Now, when he said reference that people are going to be elected a senator in 3 days, is that when early voting starts?
Yeah. Monday? Yeah. It starts Monday, right.
Yeah. Okay.
I double-checked that while I was watching. I was like, wait a minute. Is that right? You know, because the other thing is, you know, the fact-checkers are going to get a hold of this later. And I guarantee you there is a bunch of stuff here that Walker got wrong and a couple of things Warnock got wrong. So we're going to see the scales weighed back and forth about that later. Inaccuracies that they both laid out here. So I'm just I'm not sitting here trying to fact check them right now. Okay, I'm just telling you we've got about a little under 5 minutes of this left. And I'm going to stop it after we get the Braves question answered, okay? I think you're going to like this one, BP.
A few weeks ago, the World Series champs, though, they did visit the White House. Their visit sparked a renewed debate about the team's name and their signature tomahawk chop. Mr. Walker, do you believe the Braves should rethink their name, their logo, or their signature cheer? You have 30 seconds.
Not at all. You know, right now, we have too many other things to be concerned about. We have people dying on the streets in Atlanta, around the country. We have people living paycheck to paycheck, can't afford food to put on their table, can't afford gas. We have Putin out there. We have China out there. We can't be concerned about whether the Braves are going to change their name. We need to be concerned about saving this country. We need to be concerned about saving the Georgia people. We need to be concerned about giving people a right to live the liberties and freedom that the Constitution of the United States guarantees them to have.
Senator Warnock, the same question to you in regards to the Braves. Do you think they should rethink their name, their logo, or their signature cheer?
Well, first of all, I'm praying for the Braves right about now. They've got a ways to go here. Listen, the management of the Braves is meeting with our tribes, and they're having a conversation about this. And I know the folks over at the Braves organization, and I trust that they and the tribes that they're talking to will come to a place that makes sense for all involved.
Senator Warnock, we're going to go ahead and continue. We want to get a few more questions in tonight. Senator Warnock, some of your Senate colleagues have called for expanding the number of seats on the Supreme Court. In 15 seconds, quickly, sir, would you support this?
What I support...
expanding the seats on the Supreme Court.
I think that my job as a senator is to protect the rights of ordinary citizens. And for the first time, perhaps in my lifetime, we've seen those rights contract rather than expand, whether we're talking about the reproductive rights of women or voting rights. And I'm going to do everything I can to protect the rights of the citizens of Georgia.
Thank you, Senator Warnock. Mr. Walker, would you support expanding the number of seats on the Supreme Court? In 15 seconds, sir.
Yes, when you get in Washington, you have to become a leader. Being a leader, you have to make tough decisions. And you see on that answer there, he really didn't give you an answer. So my answer is no. I wouldn't know.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Now,
okay. Your thoughts there?
Oh, Lordy, the Braves. Braves got a good team this year. Braves, you know, have had a good team off and on. They've World Series champs. Give the Braves their due. Now, it comes to the question of the name, the Braves. I don't know. You know, that's – we saw the Washington Redskins go through this. We saw the Cleveland Indians go through this. I can understand somebody's point.
I kind of like Warnock's answer.
The tomahawk chop, yeah. A – you know, it. What are you going to do? Ban it? Throw people out for doing it? Maybe that's what it takes. You know, you lose your season ticket seats. We'll put them up for auction. You're out of here.
Yeah.
You know, is that what it's going to come to? Change the names. Do whatever you want. I don't care. You know, if it's the Braves, it's the Braves. That's what we're gonna call them. The Cleveland Indians were the Cleveland Indians for a long time. The Washington Redskins. I'm sorry, I don't agree with the Washington Redskins. Mm. That old team. That team was the Washington Redskins are the Washington Redskins. They always will be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those guys. I still think the Colts should be in Baltimore. They should have never given up the name when the team left, you know, the Browns did when their team left and then came back. You keep that name. That's, we're old school.
No, I understand.
I don't know.
I understand, but I kind of like Warnock's answer where it's like, look, let the Braves and the tribal people sort it out. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I mean, what tribal people? What tribal people are you going to go to? It's the Braves. Which Braves? Is it Cherokee Braves?
Well, you go.
Is it the Oneida tribe? Is it, you know what?
Well, you go
just
to.
Just change the name.
You go
know,
to.
Don't fight about it anymore. Just change it. Get rid of it. Call them what? The Atlanta Metros. I don't know.
Yeah, but some people say, you know, tradition. It's been around a long time. Look, all I'm saying is I kind of liked Warnock's answer on that where he's like, look, let the heads of the tribes that are wanting to meet with them about it and them figure it out. You know what I mean? Just let them sort it out. He doesn't need to make a statement about that.
No, he doesn't.
Now, when they got into the Supreme Court thing, I mean, you knew what the answer was.
The Supreme Court is a joke. He talks about, Warnock talks about protecting people's rights and the Voting Rights Act and things like, let me go ahead and tell you right now, there's been an assault on every Republican-led legislature that has done anything to try to change a voting law. People have more opportunity to vote now than they ever did before. You know, we're taking away people's rights to vote. No, we're not. Stacey Abrams has been making this argument for the past several years that they've oppressed. She lost because of voter suppression. More people voted in that election than have ever voted in the state of Georgia before. Let's get realistic about this crap. People have the opportunity to vote. In this state, they tried to reduce early voting by taking away like 3 Sundays out of the whole time. And this court comes up and says, well, actually, you know, because African Americans have been using that to vote and they've become accustomed to it, we can't take it away now. They were never a right to give a vote on Sunday in this state anyway, according to the Constitution. It's just ridiculous claptrap that people are trying to scare somebody into thinking that they're about to lose their right to vote. It's ridiculous.
Well, and the whole Abrams argument is completely stupid because she didn't get selected because she wasn't representing the views of the majority of people in Georgia. Period.
Yeah, she
that's
lost
it.
Because she didn't get enough votes. Plain and simple. Nobody was oppressed.
No.
Nothing was suppressed. I mean, it's easier. That's like
I'd love
after
to tell
that
you.
Election. Wait, yeah, after that election when Abrams come up saying, you know, we need to change this, this, and this, and this. People were knocked off the rolls and blah, 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 blah. And these new rules that the legislature has come up with is oppressing people's right to vote. Well, then they take it to court. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something right now. It's easier to vote in the state of Georgia than it is in the state of Delaware, where your president is from. Mm-hmm. There's more restrictions there than here. And for people like Biden to come out and say, you know, they're sitting there trying to suppress the vote and take away the votes of minorities, bull crap. Absolute bull crap.
Nonsense.
It's one of those things that nobody will sit down and lay the damn facts out and say, well, here's the number of people voting. Here's where Obama was elected, and you see the turnout there. And since then, turnout's gone down a little bit because they haven't really had a candidate that they can rally around on a national level like they did for Obama that, you know, set a precedent. This is the first black president ever elected. Mm-hmm. You know, people are not being suppressed. Yes, there are mistakes made when they go to purge the rolls and things like that, but these things are in place by state legislatures to periodically go through and clean out the crap. It's one of those things, but people have more ability to vote today than ever before.
Well, and the other thing is the standard nonsense where people have gotten knocked off the rolls and all that stuff has never stopped, has not heightened, has not... It is the same as it always was, and there's always games that are played by people who are trying to control it.
But it's
the same as it's been. There is nothing new here. Gerrymandering, and all of that is true, but that's been here forever. There's nothing new to this.
It has. The only thing that's changed is now we have a right-leaning Supreme Court that will take up more and more of these redistricting challenges. I can go ahead and tell you now, in this state, we go through it every 4 years. We've been going through it every year now for probably the past 15 to 20 years.
Wow.
We can get a redistrict. We have court cases backed up now. They're still deciding stuff from years ago. It's that ridiculous. The minute somebody redistricts or starts to draw a map, the other side immediately files a court case against it. it takes 8 months for it to ever get to court, and then it starts bumping its way up the line.
Well, some of it
is ridiculous.
Some of it is insane what they've done. I mean, I'm seeing these maps of these districts where, you know, I mean, clearly it's insane the way they drew it.
Yes, you know, it is insane, but you have to realize that we went through a period where the federal government was telling these states, well, I tell you, say the federal government, appellate courts were telling these states, no, you can't, you've drawn this district to specifically elect a minority. And now that you've done that, you cannot redo this district because it would take away the chance of that minority to win because it would dilute the minority vote. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you can't do it. We've worked ourselves into a situation where you can't litigate your way out of something you litigated your way into 10 years ago.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Well, look, we've only got a couple more minutes left, and we've had Jimmy James hanging on the line, it looks like, for a few minutes. So let's try and finish this audio clip out. There's less than 3 minutes left, so let's just finish it, and then we'll get to Jimmy on the phone.
Go Braves.
Because, you know, but either way, the way this closes to me is just priceless. So let's see if let's see what you think.
We have reached a point for a final moments of this debate, a chance for your closing remarks.
You
and you have 60 seconds.
Each have 60 seconds to answer. And Senator Warnock, you have the floor first.
Well, thank you so very much, Georgia. It's wonderful to be here. Listen, in this state, we have nearly 11 million people. And only two people get to represent us in the United States Senate, just two. And when I think about that, it is an awesome responsibility, one that humbles me and inspires me to work as hard as I can for hardworking families every single day. And I've worked with Democrats and Republicans in order to do that work. These are difficult times. These are dark times. But the scripture says that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness overcometh it not. I'm honored to represent you in the Senate. I hope that you'll show up to vote early beginning Monday. I'd be honored to have your vote. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Mr. Walker, your turn for closing statements, and you have 60 seconds as well.
For those of you who are concerned about voting for me, a non-politician, I want you to think about the damage politicians like Joe Biden and Raphael Warnock have done to this country. I want you to think about Raphael Warnock, what he said today. And I said he was going to try to give you some smooth talk and tell you what's happening. What's happening is this country is hurting. What's happening is we need leaders. So what I want to say to you, Senator Warnock, is I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this. But at the same time, I want to say Georgia needs leaders. They need a leader that's going to stand up for them. So let's think about if we give Senator Warnock six more years, think of what this country will become. I'm not sure if we can make up for that.
Gentlemen,
so
thank
I said
you.
Vote for Herschel Walker.
Thank you both, gentlemen. That's going to conclude our debate for this evening. Before we leave tonight, though, we want to remind voters that early voting begins in Georgia on Monday. It will run through November.
All right. So there is the final part of the debate. And I don't know why I find that so amusing, BP. That closing on both of them. It's just like, well, of course. And I think if Walker could have remembered a scripture, he would have quoted it too, because that's helpful in Georgia, you know.
Of course. Of course. You know, God help the state of Georgia. You know, that's all I can say. But it's not just Georgia. It's that way everywhere.
Yeah.
To me, and here's the problem. And it's exemplified by the money that are pouring into these Senate races. We need to go back where the legislatures appointed our senators the way it was originally set up and cut out. Believe how many, just think of this, how many political ads could we cut out of TV if we just went back to legislatures appointing their state senators?
That would be nice.
So look,
it would.
Jimmy James has been hanging on the line. I was going to go to a break, but I'm going to suspend the break to let Jimmy James get on the line. And anybody else who wants to join in, 319-527-5016. I do want to let him on and see what he's got to say. Maybe he heard a totally different debate than I did, but I think you summed it up once again perfectly with, God help the state of Georgia. This is the best we can do. And I mean both sides. Both sides.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The
anyway.
Republicans, I mean, no offense, but the Republicans should be ashamed that they're running someone like Herschel Walker.
Yeah, but look at the other side of it. And all Walker's got to say, Walker had one point the whole time. This guy is with Biden. And do you want more of that? No? Then vote for me. Which is kind of a concise message if he could stick to it.
he did bring up, when Warnock made the point that he had helped worked with a Texas Republican to, expand, interstate, that ties into Georgia and all that. Yeah, I can understand. Walker should have come right back with, yes, and you voted for this and that and everything else, which has thrown our budget way out of whack, caused 11% inflation, and, added to the debt. Now, he could have hammered him.
Now, I want you to know that he worked, Walker prepared with Newt Gingrich, Lindsey Graham, and Mitch McConnell all coaching him. And that's what you got. Okay, I'm just letting you know.
Well, I really don't understand why Mitch McConnell was in that. I mean, other than Mitch McConnell trying to win back, the Senate, Mitch McConnell's as big a liberal as... Oh, man, don't get me going.
I'm just trying to tell you that, some of the Republican names really tried to coach him, and that's what they came up with.
Well, now, I'll be honest with you. Gingrich is a smart guy.
Yes,
When he knows politics. Yeah. But to get involved with Mitch McConnell, you just ruined everything that you stand for when you're siding with that idiot.
Well, but the point is they're trying to prepare him for the debate is what I'm saying. And all three of them...
I would have rather asked Sally down at the corner drugstore to give me her opinion than Mitch McConnell's.
Hey, look, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that that's what you got out of those three guys being involved in his preparation. There may be more to it, but this is what I was reading about. And they were like, yeah, he's being prepared. He made statements before it saying, look, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a good speaker. So, I'm going to do my best. He tried to do the whole I'm humble. I'm not ready. But he was extremely prepared by Republican allies before this debate.
Oh, yes.
So I'm just letting you know that's what happened.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we bring on Jimmy?
Yeah, I've already opened up his phone line.
And then we'll go to break.
Sounds good. Jimmy James, you are live with us. You've been listening to our debate analysis for the last quarter of the debate. And I'm sure you have something to add to the conversation. Or maybe you want to go in a different direction. It's all up to you because you're the new caller.
Well, you probably don't want me to go the political angle, other than I will comment on the debate. What I heard is that, and by the way, this is the first time I've heard either of these characters. I've never heard Herschel Walker speak, and I've only heard whatever that other dude is, Warlock.
Warnock, yeah.
I've only heard clips of him here and there. And I'm telling you, Herschel Walker won that debate just based on the 15 minutes I heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, so fair enough. I
don't
just
know what you guys are saying.
No, your point of view is as valid as anybody else's, Jimmy James. You can say whatever you want. You want to go more politics, go ahead, whatever you want to talk about. You figure that Walker definitely, decidedly, I mean, is it by a clear margin you think he beat him in the 15 minutes you heard?
Yeah, I'd say 60-40. It's not like he said, the man said, he's not a great speaker.
Okay.
Well, and you kind of, I know what the hell the guy was saying. He was saying he wants people to work and get good jobs and have good insurance like Senator Warlock.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't saying he wanted him to have the same insurance. I don't know.
But he did say he wanted people to have the same insurance as Warnock. That's the thing he actually said.
He meant have good insurance.
Ah,
he wants people to have good jobs, good insurance and not be on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
I get the point he was trying to make, but he didn't say that exactly, did he?
I understood what he meant.
No, I understood what he meant, too. What he's saying is that you're better off if you have a good job and you have good health care through your job than getting any kind of government health care, because the government doesn't take care of you as well as a private insurer would. And that's a point of view, but, you know, what are you going to say? That was the point of view he had there. But did he clearly articulate that is the question. And to me, he did not. And now it might have been clear to you. And I bet you it's clear to plenty of Georgia voters, too. You know, you're not alone here. It's not like he's going to get no votes. But anyways,
he's definitely not a good public speaker. But I don't think he did too bad. I think he actually, I didn't hear the other 45 minutes, but that would have to be the last 15 minutes, you would think, would be the more critical quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to want it to me.
No, fair enough. I'm not disputing anything you're saying. I'm just going along. I mean, the only dispute I have is that he didn't actually say what it is that you took from that. But I get it. That's what I took from it, too. I knew that that's what he was trying to say. But, you know, but again, there was a few things he was trying to say. And one of the main things was, this guy votes with Biden all the time, and if you're not happy with that, you need to not vote for him, which is the message that he was trying to stick to. Yeah.
That's a pretty good message, I think. And I actually agree. Well, I am not no cheerleader for the Republican Party, but anyone who's listening, who is sane and wants to have a republic, you need to vote every damn Democrat out of every office that you can. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
There you go. So, B. Pete, you want to say anything to Jimmy James about his comments here?
Well, I'd have to agree with him. Vote out any Democrat that you can.
Mm. All righty, then. What can I say? You know, I find both parties to be, to me, I'm equally as, you know, repulsed by both sides of this.
Well, I look at it this way. If I mean, the Democrat Party history is one of slavery and racism and Jim Crow laws, and, you know, that alone should make people think twice about, you know, the party that they're a member of now. But if we vote out all the Democrats and all we got left are Republicans, well, then we can argue where the problem lies, because then they'll have no excuse. They're in charge of everything, and they're still screwing up. It just cuts down on half of the argument.
Well, see, that's why I said when, you know, Trump had control of the House and the Senate for 2 years, where, you know, how do you complain? You know?
Yeah, Tim, you had that Ryan guy that was completely anti-Trump. They barely had enough people to even have a caucus. And, of course, you had crazy McConnell in the Senate. See B. Pete's comments from earlier.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Anyways, you want to go to a break here and then close out the show, or because we got about, say, 25 minutes left?
Yeah, we can take a quick break. We can come close out the show, or if you want to go late, we can go late. Nothing keeping us from doing that, is there?
Well, we do have some options. I gotta double check on the home front here to see what's going on, because I'm not sure. But we could definitely at least get the next 25 in. The Ocelli Effect continues, and you can call in. 25 minutes left, like we said. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. Look, if nothing else, me and BP can sit here and talk to Jimmy James, but you could join us at that number, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype. Ask me and I will call you into the show. Stick around.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
In denial. Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Support Chuck O'Chili at chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, you know, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Final segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Friday night, and we are still able to take your calls if you call in. 319-527-5016, that is the number to call. And so far, we've only gotten Jimmy James on the line, which is not a bad thing. Do want to point out that, Jimmy, you got to send me your postal mail address again, because I owe you an envelope when I get my envelopes out. So... do me a favor and make sure you email that to me, okay? Because I still am offering a handful of stickers to anybody who donates in between now and Selection Day. And that does remind me also, B. Pete, send me your mailing address again, because I delete everybody's mailing address.
All right.
So I can't remember them.
Yeah, I'll put it in Skype before we get done tonight.
Cool. That would be much appreciated. But, Jimmy, you could email it to me because you're on your phone, if that's okay with you. You got my email address, right?
I got Ocelli.help or something.
Well,
yeah,
I got
something, but... Hey, my address, I put it on the PayPal, so it should be right on your PayPal account.
Okay, I will take a look and see if it's on there. Again, you know, I don't notice everything when I'm reading it, but if anybody makes a donation in between now and Selection Day, yeah, I'll be more than happy to send you at least a handful of the new Ocelli stickers and some other stuff in an envelope. And as promised, I have a couple of kind of beat up ones, but they are little silver certificate $1 bills, things like that. I'll randomly insert those in envelopes, and I'll make up all the envelopes and then fill them out after, and I won't know which ones are which. So they'll go out to wherever, and there's a few other things I could throw in and often do, so I will do that, send you a flat envelope as a thank you for contributing to the network. Anyways, that's what will happen. And what do I owe about? I owe five people envelopes now. But I would like to use up a book of stamps. That would be nice. So I do have a book of stamps. Anyways, point is, that was definitely interesting with the debates. Brings up a lot of different subjects. Maybe I'll record some other stuff in the future that's going on, current events, and just bring it on random. Spring it on B. Pete. And see what he's got to say, and we can discuss some things on here. We have other ideas about going further in the future and maybe expanding, doing more than 2 hours on Friday night, since the Age of Transitions has now moved to Sunday nights on the live broadcast. It didn't make it last time. Aaron was not ready. He had some problem of some sort. So, but this Sunday, he should be on in his normal time slot, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, but on Sundays, which will follow Chris Graves and Get Mad with Chris Graves, which interesting show this past week for sure with Peter Cikosh. Anyways, so what? Anything else on your mind, Jimmy James, before we move on, or I just, you know, turn to BP, get an update on something crazy, or God knows what might be in the chamber with BP?
Well, I was just going to say there's a gigantic hole in Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like it's end at 10.
I understand. So do you think that we should go for 3 hours on Friday, or should we try to find another show to put in? What do you think?
Yeah, I guess it'd be good to fill up the 10 to 12 slot somehow. Well, what about Uncle's show? Couldn't it still be 11 to midnight on Fridays? Wouldn't that extra hour give him plenty of time to set that up?
I don't know. You know what? I can suggest it. I will make that suggestion since you made it. I'll ask Aaron about it. I mean, obviously, he's in charge of when those shows run. I'd be more than happy to do that if that's the way we go. I'll put in the suggestion.
I've taken a wild guess to think that I think Uncle likes Friday nights.
I think so too. It got moved because of Aaron's work schedule, really, is what the problem was. That's why he missed so many shows, because he wasn't able to get home from work in time. And then even when he was kind of tired. You know, he'd just come from work. So, you know, I understand that. And wouldn't want to, you know, I mean, I had come from work many times to do the show, and sometimes it was very, very hard, depending on how hard my day of work was. You know, but anyway, I will definitely put that in the suggestions with Aaron and see what he thinks.
But, yeah, we got to fill this 10 to 12 spot. It feels naked.
I hear you. But if we just went 3 hours with this show, would you be happy with that? Or you think definitely need another show in there?
I think it should really go to midnight.
So you want me to do 4 hours on Friday night? If
usual 8 to 4 setup.
What's that?
Yeah, the usual 8 to 4 for some reason, but I meant 8 to midnight setup, 4 hours.
All right, so you want me to do a 4 hour show? That's another option. I mean, BP, would you be willing to go to midnight if I went to midnight, or?
Sure.
Okay, well, me and BP will discuss this a little more, because I'd want to fill it up better, you know, because sometimes we only get you calling in, and no offense, but I mean, if we only got one caller on a night, it might be a little much to fill 4 hours with. Although, if we can bring in some other clips and create some regular content, then it'll fly right on by. I mean, honestly, I feel like this show flew by tonight pretty much. I mean, we've only got 12 minutes left or so. And because of the clip and the debate, I don't know. It just felt better energy-wise. So maybe if we fill part of the show with that and then part of the show with calls... I don't know. Maybe it would be a more fun, right?
How about you could do like have it I was thinking like some of us could bring in clips and then we could do a McLaughlin group type thing, comment on it. For like not one of the hours or something.
All right. Well, listen. If people like this idea, how about that? Yeah, people could bring in different clips. If you send me the MP3s, I can play them through, so that they broadcast nice and clean. Or if we were able to get links together for stuff like, you know, if it's on a YouTube video or something like that, and I had them ahead of time, so I know what I'm doing. I'd be more than happy to run that. That could be a good one. Write to me, info@ocelli.com or blindjfkresearcher at gmail.com, excuse me, blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com or info@ocelli.com, either one. And let me know what you think, you the listener out there, not Jimmy James or Pete, because we definitely love suggestions. You guys might have a better way to tackle all this. I mean, you want to hear, like, first hour international politics and bring a clip. You want to hear just a clip show, whatever people bring on, whatever they email me up until the show that night. I mean, I don't know. Let me know what you think. And we could let you guys create the segments. How about that? Or at least part of it, and then me and BP will sort through it. Fair enough, BP, or what?
No, it sounds like a plan. You know, I'm thinking if we could, you know, if we're going to go till midnight, we want to regiment at least, you know, a couple hours of it to either a guest who is available on a Friday night. You had mentioned that some people wanted to do Friday night, and it was never available. So now we could expand that avenue of it, hold out a segment, say, you know, 45-minute segment where we're just talking news topics of the day, whatever you want to do. But we could break it down. Yeah, it sounds very doable. I think we could go 4 hours, no problem.
All right, and like I said, you guys might have other suggestions. Jimmy James just said, how about if everybody was able to bring clips? I can do it. It just needs to be sent to me in advance, you know? I mean, if you guys wanted me to play something off of YouTube or various TV feeds, I can go get them and run them through, too. That's another possibility. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but sometimes people have been like, oh, I saw this clip and I wish I could play it now, and I go get it. I have done that during shows.
Absolutely.
It's a little tougher.
If people can send in links for clips and things like that, yeah, we can throw them out there. And like Jimmy James said, we can have a roundtable discussion of that topic. No problem.
Yeah, or, you know, let's just say even if it's not necessarily a news item, but something that you thought was cool on YouTube or on BitChute or, you know, one of these. I mean, I'm not too thrilled with pushing YouTube anymore because they pushed me out. Funny thing, though, Jack Blood, which... I released the podcast through the feed, but it's not on site yet. He's a little upset, me, Pete, because got a community guideline strike over there. Can't do his live drop-ins because they stop you from being able to upload or live stream for a week when you get one strike. So he got a strike, and he's like, oh, they're finally coming after me already. Yeah, that's the name of the game over there. You naughty, naughty boy. You can't say anything that's negative about the vaccine. What's the matter for you? Even though he did it talking about something that was already up on YouTube, by the way.
It makes you wonder exactly how much money they're getting from the pharmaceutical industry to squash this crap.
Well, but what's funny is Jack was talking about a Dr. Oz show that is on YouTube.
Yeah.
So he's talking about an author and a book and stuff that's on there, but when Jack talks about it, he gets a community strike. Dr. Oz is allowed to keep his videos up. So what does that mean? Oh, right. If you have corporate backing, they don't censor you. Oh, okay. So, yeah, but if you have corporate backing, you can squeeze in.
Right.
A little something.
Who Dr. Show? What was that? NBC?
You know, I'm not sure anymore. I don't know who. BP, do you know what network Dr. Oz is on now?
No, but we can find out real quick.
Okay, yeah, why not find out? And you know, that's a good question, Jimmy James, because, but I guarantee you, it is one of the you know, one of the main media companies out there that has him. Even if he's an independent talk show, it's always a distribution through one of these.
You see that dude on there.
What's that?
Well, now, are we talking about the Dr. Oz show?
From what I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Let's do a little research here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he may have a podcast through something else, but usually it's connected. You know, I mean, even... even Bill Maher has, you know, like several podcasts, and it's all somehow connected to the parent company of HBO. Even the one that's, you know, supposedly his independent podcast, right? So once you're a media figure like this, even if you have, you know, something that looks like it's away from the standard network, it's usually associated to it somehow. So whatever his main branch comes from, which I imagine is the Dr. Oz show, would have to be responsible for the majority of his other stuff, or at least partially funding or backing or something, the rest of it.
Yep. Probably NBC Universal, which is owned by God only knows who.
And then you got the
Who's
Fox.
Who knows?
And you got the Fox Disney conglomerate, whatever that is at this point. And who owns ABC? I don't know, because I know ABC was owned by Disney too at one point. But
well, now let's see. The actual Dr. Oz show, which ran up until January of this year, was actually one of Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Productions, Harpo Studios.
Okay. Well, there
in association with Sony Pictures TV.
There it is, Sony. Okay, so Sony backs...
One of those networks is owned by Sony, so which one's owned by Sony?
There you go.
In fact, the show itself was created by Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, I thought so. But, you know, Jimmy James asked the right question, which is, television network does Sony own at this point? They own many properties that they distribute to all the networks, but I think Jimmy James is right that they do own a controlling stake in one of the alphabets there, ABC, NBC, CBS. I know it's not Fox because Disney has that.
Let's see.
You know, it's just, it's a question of which one. It's, you know.
Yeah, now he was sent out in syndication. Let's see, Sony purchased Columbia Pictures in 89. CBS Record Group is in 88.
Okay, but Record Group doesn't mean TV because, yeah.
Let's see, this is the list of the top four companies owned by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, boom, 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 boom.
You see, CBS Records I know is different from CBS TV because, just like when they had, I'm trying to think of the other huge, huge thing that was out there as a record company for a long time, that was, it's totally disassociated from the other company that bears the same name. At one time, I think CBS Records and CBS TV were the same thing, but, they were bought out by some other record company and they kept the name.
Yeah, Columbia Broadcasting acquired the American Record Company in 1938.
Right.
But they could only use the word Columbia in North America.
And that's your Columbia
Records.
So
that's when they made it. That's when they called it. Yeah, it was, that's when they decided to go with CBS Records. They changed the name entirely. But Sony bought it in 88 for $2 billion.
Oh, there you go.
At that time, they were the most successful music company. As a result of buyout, Sony renamed CBS Records as Sony Music Entertainment and reintroduced the Columbia brand.
Right. And then they just re-released the Columbia brand, which is the original. See?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is like all these things, you think you know what it is based on the label, you don't. Because Sony is, you know, let's not forget, not an American company. So, you know, it's
Yeah, let's see. Sony has got, they own Sony Corporation, which is Sony Global Manufacturing and Operations, Sony Semiconductor, Sony LSI Design, Altair Semiconductor, Sony Depth Sensing, Sony Advanced Visual, and then there's Sony's Picture Studios, Worldwide Product, Madison Gate, AK Holdings, which is Animax, which is a Japanese animation venture
with that's the animation, right.
Bandai, Toei Animation, TMS.
And that's your toy companies, yeah.
Kid Station, they used to, they had the Mystery Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down, Columbia Pictures.
And that's the other thing, is they own various cable networks, like, you know, the Travel Channel and whatever. They're always owned by one of these conglomerates
and
as
Sony,
well.
Sony Pictures Home Entertainment, they own Sandley Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Mainframe Studios, WoW Unlimited, Channel Federation Network, Cartoon Hangover. And we're going down the list here. Destination Films, Stage 6 Films, Affirm Films, TriStar Pictures, TriStar Productions. Let's see if we can pick out some of the more well-known ones here. Of course, there's Sony Pictures Television, Adelaide Productions, CPG Holdings, Gemstone Studios, TriStar Television.
Yeah, see, those are all distribution hubs for various things that go across the networks. And it sounds almost like, I mean, there is a deal between Sony and Disney, but I don't think one of them owns the other at this point.
No. I do have the AXN network.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Sony Music Group, which has got a bunch of smaller labels underneath it.
Tons and tons of formerly large, massive music conglomerates.
Bad Boy Records. So they did end up with Bad Boy Records after Suge Knight had to, didn't he have to unload everything on that?
Well, no, that wasn't, Bad Boy's not Suge Knight. Bad Boy was
what? No, that was Sean Combs.
Yeah, Sean Combs, right.
Yeah. That's right. The other one was Death Row Records. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Death Row is the other one. Which, by the way, Death Row is under what was it under? Interscope, which was bought by forget it. I can't even remember anymore.
Sony owns RCA Records now. You talk about a big record company back in the early days. RCA was pretty big.
Well, there you go. And some of these deals involved letting go of certain catalogs, which is why you see stuff that was initially published under RCA or whatever, is now under a completely different company because they couldn't afford it when they bought RCA Records, and it just got detached from the deal. It was like, well, let's just let go of Ray Perkins' music then, because that'll save us, you know, $1 billion. So... You know, because remember all that stuff, you gotta still take care of all the licensing when people use it in movies and all that stuff. So, you know, how many times do you think the song Blue Suede Shoes has been used in a movie? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Now, where they're really making their cash nowadays is their interactive entertainment. They've got Bungle, Gaikai, PlayStation, PlayStation Productions, PlayStation Studios. Oh, crap. Well, what was the other one I saw? Blue Point Games, Fire Sprite, Guerrilla Games, Haven Studios, Housemarque, Insomniac Games,
and they own
God
like
knows.
Yeah, and they own like 5 streaming services. Of course they do.
So they pretty much have their fingers in everything electronics and entertainment wise.
Yep. No, that's the thing. And like I said, there's also toy companies in there. There's you don't even know anymore. It's huge. Plus,
really, and they're everywhere. They're from China, Southeast Asia, to Europe, to India, Korea, the UK, really heavily in the UK and Europe.
Plus, Latin America. Plus, they still make hardware, not just PlayStation consoles, but they still make, you know, Blu-ray players and all that kind of stuff. And oh, don't forget the televisions. So you have hardware manufacturing as well. I mean, think about how large Sony is from the company that, you know, created what, the Betamax, and then perfected the CD, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. Huge.
But you look at what they've sold off. I mean, they've sold off Crackle, Lowe's Cineplex Entertainment, Movie Link. They've gotten rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but it's still nothing. I mean, it's a flea on the dog. Compared to the massive company they are.
You know, they had Starz TV at one time. They sold it to Trace Group. Viasat 3, Viasat 6.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all your satellite communication company. Like I said, they have so much communication, hardware, everything. I mean, it's just nobody talks about Sony as a corporation anymore. You know, the last time even Sony was in the news, really, was what? When somebody from North Korea allegedly hacked their computers and stole what was it, the movie print for the Wolverine. Was that like the interview, right, where the stupid thing where they mocked Kim Jong-un and anyway, all fun and games until somebody gets their regime put out. Meanwhile, we're out of time, so you know what, yeah, we actually went a touch overtime. I'll leave it all, intact. But never did quite solve what happened to the television concerns. But if you're tuning into Ocelli.com right now looking for the Age of Transition, sorry, that's going to start happening on Sundays live at 10 p.m. Eastern, because that's where Aaron and Uncle want to go, although... We've got some proposals from Jimmy James. We've got other proposals from you guys out there, hopefully telling us what you want us to do with the rest of Friday night. Even one proposal saying maybe we'll go 4 hours. If we do, we're going to mix it up, because we're not just going to take the calls. But I don't want to stop taking the calls either. So we're gonna do something with this, BP, right?
Definitely, definitely. Something in the works.
There you go. So until Sunday, when we do Get Mad with Chris Graves and the Age of Transitions and Uncle the Broadcast, I'm all done for the week. No matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Thanks to BP. Thanks for Jimmy James calling in, all you guys in the chat room, and anybody who decided to listen and support the network. Take care.